Us in our Bible study series, and in our journey tonight, I wanted to stop at a specific statement of Jesus. There's something he said that I just really want to wrap our hands around tonight because I think it helps us understand where we're going, why things are happening the way they're happening in our new following of Jesus. Why are things happening the way they are? As we're on our walk with Jesus, I was drawn to this statement, and it's in John 16:32. I know this verse comes from the end of Jesus' ministry, but I think it's something that we can all benefit from. We know that throughout Jesus' ministry walk, he offers people forgiveness of sins, okay? He offers them eternal life in heaven with God, we get that. And he also offers them life to the full here on earth. Now, most people understand the concept of forgiveness of sins. Most people kind of get their hands around the concept of eternal life with God in heaven. People get that. But the confusing issue, the confusing promise of Jesus is this idea of life to the full, a full life here on earth, which is in John 10:10, he promises. So allow me to offer you some real life followers of God who are having trouble with life to the full. A relative of mine is despondently watching her marriage fall apart in front of her eyes. Is that life to the full? Another one is, then there's someone who is struggling to keep their teenager off of a path that will certainly lead to tragedy. As a follower of Jesus Christ. Again, what is the life to the full, Jesus? Another is barely dragging themselves along day to day and is overwhelmed because they're a single parent. And the final one, still another, is drowning in a sea of financial dilemmas that leaves them dolefully sitting with their head in their hands. Now, each of these people have been on my mind along with a cachet of questions that I've been asking. Is this what the Christian walk is supposed to be? How do huge problems like these fit into the life to the full promise, right? And are we as followers of Jesus Christ, are we supposed to be shielded from all those things? This is where Jesus' teaching in John 16:33 comes in. Here's what Jesus said. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. But take heart, I've conquered the world. That's all we're going to look at tonight, that statement by Jesus. Now, Jesus is incredibly honest. Jesus is very down to earth. He also understands completely who we are and the lives we live. He made it clear in this statement that we will continue to experience difficulty in our lives, even after accepting his gift of salvation. And if you look at problems, gang, they generally fall into two big categories, right? Problems come in these two categories. The first category are heartaches, difficulties, and fallout that I own because I fought to bring them into my world, okay? These are problems that we're going to have. That's the first set of problems. The second set of problems are trials and refining stressors that God infuses into our life. Jesus is informing us plainly, and he's making it very clear, that even after receiving forgiveness of sins and receiving our promise of life eternal, we're still going to experience difficulties. So tonight, I want to focus on category number one. Category number one are the heartaches, the difficulties, and the fallout that I own because I fought to bring these things into my world. Now, before you think this is going to be a downer sermon, an oh man, I'm done for sermon, look back at the statement Jesus said and read that verse again. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. We get that. But take heart. I've conquered the world. Gang, Jesus is saying, yes, you will have to deal with issues, but now that you have become a follower of Jesus, you're going to be able to deal with them through Jesus' eyes and you're going to be able to deal with them with Jesus at your side to assist you, which you didn't have before. And you now have Jesus's all-overcoming power. So, with that said, let's look at this issue. Gang, not all the problems that we experience in our lives need to be there. And it is very important to distinguish the difference between problems that I created and problems that God uses in our lives. Big differentiation, and you have to be able to point those out and own what you own. You see, you and I can get very discouraged as followers of God. We can get very disillusioned if we think that God is creating and maintaining every single problem and difficulty we experience in our lives. We need to realize how the followership of Jesus, how the follower road of Jesus works. So, over here to our pad, here's what it is. When your life begins, you start on a path, all right? You start on a path. We don't know God, and God has a path that he wants for our life. Okay? He has a path for us. He knows what he wants for you and me. He knows what he wired you and me up to do. He knows what your spiritual gifts are going to be. He knows who you are, and he wants all these choices to be made by me and you. That's his path over here. Problem is, we don't know God. So, we start our own path. And we start going up this way on this path. That's what life's like when you make your own decisions, right? You heard how horrible that was? Connie's ready, like, I'm out. I have a chalkboard next. It's awesome. I use my fingernails. We start going up this road, right, gang? And guess what? We're making our own decisions. I decide what I want to believe. I decide who I want to hang around with. I decide what I want to do. I decide what attitudes I'm going to have. I decide all my stuff for myself. And we all know where this leads. To a brick wall, right? We've been there, right, followers of Jesus? We've been to the brick wall. We know with the way we've been making our decisions, we hit a brick wall. And then we go one step further and we find the cross of Jesus Christ. And we're like, yes, now I can get things right. And get my sins forgiven, eternal life with God, and life to the full, right? Life to the full. We want that. That's what Jesus promised in 10:10. Remember that life we said that he had for us? I'll show you what it looked like. Here's where he wanted you to go, and me. See that? Oh, that's a good road. That's the road God would have us on. And here's where the problem comes in. This is where we get tripped up. We think that when we go to Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive our sins, we think that there is a viaduct, there's a bypass. We think that there is a bridge that takes us right over to the road Jesus wants us on, right? That would be good, that we could just go right over and do the life that God wanted us to do. But guess what? Bridge out. There is no bridge to that road. What you do is you've picked up Jesus Christ here. What he will do is start walking you back down your road. What? Yeah. Remember that decision you made right here? And you got Jesus at your side now, and he's not mean. And he doesn't flaunt your mistakes. He'll say, remember that decision you made here, Drew, not to go to college? We got to rethink that one. You made that decision. Remember that, Drew? Yeah, I remember. Well, it's okay. I'm with you now. It's okay. There's nothing here that I'm not going to walk through you with, and there's nothing, there's no condemnation. You shouldn't be condemning yourself with this. We got to fix that. And so we start making changes. Remember that thing you started believing about yourself back here, that you were useless, that you really weren't any good, or that the best you could hope for was being fair. Maybe a middle-of-the-road guy. Nothing special. You're nothing special, Drew. I picked up that lie, and God says, you know what? Let's sit down here. Let's talk that one through. Let me tell you who you are. And he starts going through that. He keeps walking you down this road, and before you know it, we've made a turn. And we start going up this road, the road he always wanted us on. But you can't get to this road until you go back down the road you went through. Relationships that you busted, heartaches that came, attitudes and habits and things you picked up that Jesus wants to walk you back through to get you back down to the road that he wants you on. I'm not so sure it goes all the way down here, but I certainly know it's way down here. It ain't up here. Does that make sense to you? A lot of Christians get that wrong. A lot of followers of Jesus Christ don't get that right. That's where they get tripped up. Because remember, we're looking at problems now. So let's do our work. Gang, I fought tooth and nail to secure certain decisions that I made on my personal road, that left-hand road. I fought tooth and nail to make those happen. I ignored guidance counselors at Linden High School who begged me. My woodshop teacher signed me up for college, and I didn't go. I blew off people warning me about the wrong type of people to hang around with. I blew them off. Those were the people I decided to emulate, and I was heading towards that brick wall. I own every single pothole. I own every ditch, every hazard on that road. And as much as I would love to leave it all behind and jump over to the new road, that's not what Jesus is offering. Instead, he says, let's go back over your road. Let's start correcting things. Let's start changing things. And let's start healing some things. And remember, you will experience difficulties as you do this. Let's look at someone in the Bible who ushered a problem into his life. I'm going to talk to you real quick. Don't normally use the Bible to explain the Bible very often, but we're going to do it here tonight. King David. King David, one of the greatest kings that Israel ever had, arguably the greatest king they ever had, and he was a really cool guy. He was a man's man, and he was a ladies' man. He was something. If you were a guy, you'd like David. If you were a girl, you'd love David. David was ultra cool. He could fight. He could sing. He could do it all. He was good looking, he was faithful, he was a good friend, smart, powerful, unbelievable guy. And he helped lead Israel to one of their greatest times ever. They became a great nation under King David. He often would go to war, he would fight because he was a warrior. This guy was unbelievable. We're only going to look at one paragraph here from David's life, and it says this. I'll just read it to you. It says, in the spring, the kings would go out to war. David should be heading out to war. So in the spring, David sent Joab, that's his general. He sent his servants, and he sent all the Israelites. David didn't go. They destroyed the Ammonites and attacked the city of Rabbah, but David stayed in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed. He walked around on the roof of his palace, and while he was on the roof, he saw a beautiful woman bathing. And while he was on his roof, he saw this. She was very beautiful, the Bible says. So David sent his servants to find out who she was. And a servant came back and answered, oh, that's the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Her name is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam. And David said, bring her to me. Well, gang, here's how the story goes. That fateful day, David made a self-guided decision that would bring problems into his later life. He and Bathsheba disobeyed God's teaching, and they did that with each other. David was a follower of God, yet he experienced problems in his life like you would not believe. Gang, Jesus studied this same story. Jesus used the Old Testament all the time. He studied this story, and he read it just like you and I read it. Jesus knows our propensities. He wasn't lying when he said, we are going to have problems. And some of those problems, as with King David here, are going to be problems that we usher into our lives. This category of problems can come to us from a variety of avenues. Some can come from ill-advised decisions we've made in the past. Right? Some of these problems can come from our actions and our attitudes long past that have far-reaching implications on us and have far-reaching implications on others. these problems can come to us by refusing to heed counsel. And as in David's case, these problems can come to us because of just willful disobedience. We just disobey what God's word says. As I thought about these, I realized that I'm guilty of all four of these practices, gang. I'll be honest with you. I've done all four of these in my life. And I don't think I'm alone. But what we must get right, gang, here at the very beginning, is getting an accurate picture of who God is and what his attitude is towards us, even when we make mistakes. Here's his attitude, Psalm 145, verse 14. The Lord helps the fallen. He lifts up those who bent beneath their loads. Even if our problem is something we own because of our disobedience to God, God does not fold his arms over his chest and say, "Don't look for my help. You got yourself into this by not listening to me. Now you can get yourself out." That's not Jesus. That's not the way God works. Instead, he says, what did we read? "Take heart. I have overcome the world." The accurate picture of God is a God who sees us blunder and says, "Okay, I'm with you on this. I'm with you." God speaks to us in Isaiah 41:10, and he says, "So don't worry, because I'm with you. Don't be afraid, because I'm your God. I will make you strong and will help you. I will support you with my right hand that saves you." God certainly knows that you and I have made mistakes, gang, and he also knows we are going to make mistakes in the future. Truth practice number one. First thing, as we're going on to the solution side of this, is don't blame God for what we own. Important for us to get this right. Don't blame God for what you own. All right? Me too. When I was sitting in a sewage plant, most of the times I tell people I worked at a water treatment plant. That's the nice way to say it. I worked in a sewage plant, guys, and I got a license in it. I was good at it. I don't even want to go any further with this analogy. But just know this. I was sitting in a sewage plant at 23 years old, and I mistakenly started asking God why he had me working with filth. What I really needed to awaken to was the fact that I put me in that sewage plant, not God. Remember, who did I blow off in high school? Mr. Young, my high school woodshop teacher. I didn't heed his counsel. I did not go to college. I was the one saying yes to job opportunities. Remember that left-hand road? I picked the ones I wanted, and I picked the ones I didn't want. I didn't care what God thought. I didn't care what God thought about what I did in my job, my career. I didn't ask for his input. So when I was discouraged by my job situation and my income, my lack of income, I needed to admit that it was not God who had created this problem. It was me. The good news is, though, that Jesus now says, "Okay, Drew, let's go back over this choosing of a career. And this time, let me guide you." Gang, that's an important truth we need to understand. Because some of our decisions in the past that we own are going to be issues that may take a while to undo or redo. And this is where point two comes in. Truth practice number two, forgive yourself. Now, some people are real, real good at forgiving themselves. Some people are not good at all at forgiving themselves. I'm going to speak to the ones who are not real good at forgiving themselves. Gang, when we come to the cross of Jesus Christ and we ask him to forgive our mistakes, he says, every blunder, every misspoken word, every ill-advised deed is forgiven. Jesus says that he remembers them no more and that they are separated from us as far as the east is from the west. Romans 8:1 tells us this. with the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ's being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud. Those who enter into Christ's being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud. We can use my sewage plant career problem. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I gave him my life. It was a mess. I accepted Jesus Christ on Christmas Eve, 1983, in the pump house of the Lyndon Roselle Sewage Authority. That's where it happened, at midnight. It didn't take long for me to see that the sewage plant was not where I should be. So, knowing that I got me here, I left my past behind and asked God to choose a career for me. It took some time. I had to stay there. I didn't quit my job. I don't advise people quit your job and look for a new one. Let God bring you a new one. Stay where you're at for now. Stay the course. It took time, but later that year, I wound up leaving the sewage plant and took a job as an apprentice carpenter. Gang, once our errors have been confessed, we need to move out of the problem side and into the solution side. Guilt and blame and condemning need only serve as a preface for the new story that God is writing with our lives. Sometimes I'll be in counseling with people, and the guilt and the blame and the condemning, they will start being told. They'll let me know these things. And quite honestly, there's a place for knowing and admitting and taking ownership, like we talked about in point one. There is an ownership time. But we can't camp out there. We can't stay there. You don't camp out there. Once that part of the session is done, it's done, and you need to move on from it. In these counseling sessions, before too long, I will ask the parties to forgive the responsible party and also to forgive themselves for their part. I'll encourage them with a statement like, okay, now, leave that behind. It's time to get on the solution side of this thing. Now, maybe you're here tonight, and you made some terrible blunders. Maybe you made some really bad ones. Maybe you hurt someone who loved you. Hurt them bad. Maybe you allowed yourself to be taken advantage of. And you allowed yourself to be taken advantage of for way too long. Maybe you did things that have lifelong consequences. Well, once God has forgiven you, you need to forgive yourself. You have to. You can join my club at that point, and this is the I was an idiot before I met Jesus club, and I'm the president. And we don't do much in my club except not focus on the past. That will lead us to our final point of owning our past. Truth practice number 3. Be diligent on the long backtrack journey. As you walk back down your life's road, as we showed you, as you walk back down your life's road, you will inevitably find some things you own that shout out for closure. Some things that shout out to be readdressed. You see, God is in the repair business. One of my friends told me that he had one of his tattoos removed, as much as you can remove it, I guess. He also told me that he had another one of his tattoos changed because he told me it had vile and unwholesome content. Gang, that's diligence. That's diligence on the road of repair with Jesus Christ. Another friend told me that they needed to revisit and make good a 22-year-old promise. And they went back and made good on it. Perhaps the most common diligence in the backtrack journey is the relational repair. This diligence is where we try to make right a situation that we own that went wrong. I remember my journey. I was driving back from Florida, and for some reason, God was just impressing upon my heart three people. Three people that I had a major fallout with. Three people I was really close with at one point in my life, but I had a major falling out with every single one, didn't speak to them at that point. And as I was driving up Route 95, God said, you've got to make those right. That was part of my journey back. You go to those people. You go. And so I jumped on my motorcycle when I got home, and I started my visits, each and every one. One guy I met for dinner. One I had to go to a church and see. Another one I went to his house. And I talked to each and every one of them and tried to heal what I had messed up. Gang, relational repair isn't something that we can fix all on our own. But the Bible tells us this, that we should repair what we own. Romans 12:18 instructs us this, and this is a very important verse. It says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all people. What that's saying is that I'm not responsible for what the other person does in this healing process. As far as it is on my side of the fence, I'm letting it go, I'm forgiving, and I'm asking for forgiveness. I am owning it, I'm forgiving myself, and I'm getting on the solution side of this thing. That's what it's going to be with on my side. That's what happens when we're diligent with the backtrack journey that God has us on. You see why Jesus would say you're going to have problems in your new life with him? Yes. But he's also saying, take faith. I've conquered the world. I can certainly conquer those things with you. I'm going to ask the band to come back. I'm going to ask our worship leaders to come over here. I'm going to ask them to take us through a song. I don't know where you're at on your journey with Jesus. I don't know. I was all over the place on my journey with Jesus. I was as far away as I could be. I was real close. I had, you name it. We're all in different places. But what God is saying is, I want this for you. What Jesus is saying is, a lot of us have taken this road. We're heading for that brick wall, or maybe we've hit that brick wall, and the cross is waiting right here. Jesus Christ wants you to hand him the steering wheel of your life. He wants to run your life. I was so scared that if I gave Jesus Christ my life, he'd ruin it. I put it in a sewage plant, but I was worried he was going to ruin it. Told you, I'm president of the I Was a Dope Before I Met Jesus Club. But I gave Jesus my life. He did not send me to India where I would sweat the rest of my life being a heavy person. Instead, he sent me here. I can't believe what God has done with my life as I let him make the healings. But I'm not alone. You all have these stories. Any one of you can come up here and tell us the stories of how you made these corrections with Jesus, how you repaired, you fixed, and you were diligent. We forgave yourself. He's got you on a new life to the full. All I'm asking you to do, think about it as we worship God together.